Hello, you're watching Rebel Base, IGN's number one and only Star Wars show.
Star Wars Celebration, it happened last week. It was all right, wasn't it?
It was a thing that happened in Anaheim, California.
Oh, man. I was watching 4 days it all long. Weekend and just seeing like everyone's amazing photos and pictures and tweets, and I just wasn't there.
Anyway, so what we're going to do is going to look back at the convention and pick out our highlights and also judge them against the predictions we made the week before.
That's right.
And later on, correct or incorrect we were.
Yeah, and later on in the show, we're going to have like some of the weirder stuff.
I saw a lot of weird stuff that's probably scarred me for, I wouldn't say life, but the near future,
so
at least.
It kicked off then on Thursday. You were in the Abrams Kathleen Kennedy panel.
Yeah.
How was it?
I'm going to sound like an absolute big time Charlie here because I had a reserve seat. I'm not bragging. The reason I'm telling this is for a reason. Because people have been queuing for like a couple of days. Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams bought them pizza while they were queuing. And as the press, where we were walked in, just got booed by everyone. Everyone who'd been queuing all night.
Good. Glad.
Harsh.
I was booing you.
Harsh. I don't care. I got a seat.
I saw you periscoping it and I was shouting some pretty filthy stuff at you.
But it was pretty cool to be in that room, you know, a suitably momentous panel to kick off Celebration.
They talked about a lot of stuff and then they showed the trailer.
What was great is obviously being in the room, people were like whooping, screaming, like cheering everything from like little small comments to comments like, we're using practical effects. People lost their minds over that because it presses the right buttons after the prequels, I think.
Yeah.
BB-8 looked amazing on stage. But when the trailer started, everyone was just like, you could hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
Because everyone obviously, you know, that audience.
Yeah.
They won't tolerate any speaking and nobody would want to do that. But then at the end, like people were crying when...
Do you cry? Chewy.
No, but we definitely felt emotional, especially being in that atmosphere. And, you know, it's maybe, you know, I think it's a justified analogy. It's a bit like, you know, going to church or something. You've got everyone with kind of shared ideals, shared interests. You know, there's that kind of the electricity of a crowd sort of thing. And everyone's just like, play it again. And it was a great feeling.
I don't know Goosebumps. How I'm going to be able to handle myself watching it and watching the full thing. Because I watched the trailer in like the IMAX in Leicester Square. I don't know how I'm going to be able to contain myself watching the film. I'm really worried about that.
I'm not going to see it with you. I'm not going to see it with you. So what did we predict?
We predicted that they would show a new trailer. Boom! Got that right.
So, you know, that's why you watch this, for insight. And
we predicted that the new cast would show up, and they did. Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and Oscar Isaac all came out on stage and said a couple of things and got a little tiny bit of an interview.
So John Boyega is just an absolute star.
He's amazing, isn't he?
He's just got that natural charisma. It's almost like a Harrison Ford, just naturally charming.
And so we predicted that. We got that right. We also predicted we would find out about Adam Driver and Gwendolyn Christie. We did not.
No.
And they weren't there either. Because their characters still have not been revealed. They're probably in the trailer, to be honest. Like, I'm pretty sure that silver stormtrooper is Gwendolyn Christie.
And Kylo Ren is Adam Driver.
Gotta be.
Gotta be, unless it's not, and then it's something else.
Yeah. We predicted that we would find out the new cast connections with the old cast.
Nope.
And we did not.
Nope. It's not in there. Yeah. Although, the trailer is hinting at maybe possible connections.
We also don't know about Donald Gleason either. He's not in it.
We learned nothing.
Yeah. Well, no, we did. Also, tell you one thing we did see is someone picking up Vader's helmet, Jedi artifacts, and anyone who watches the show every week knows how much we love the idea that someone's going around collecting Jedi artifacts.
Yep.
So we kind of got that right. But what was your favorite thing about it?
I think it was seeing BB-8 in the flesh, as it were. Just because, you know, we've been told that, you know, it's practical effects.
Yeah.
But there is a difference between being told that and seeing it. And when he came out on stage, you know, there's skilled animators in the world that can make a digital creation come to life and imbue it with character. But there was something about the puppeteers controlling that on stage and having it react to J.J. Abrams and kind of riff and bounce off R2.
Yeah.
That was just kind of awesome to see happen in front of you. He just had so much character.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. I think my favorite thing about it was the story that John Boyega told, which was he hadn't told his parents that he was in Star Wars until that black and white cast photo got released. So his dad kept seeing him getting these sort of pages of script every week. I mean, he was asking him, you know, what are you doing? And he said that he was filming the new 24.
Yeah, it's a bit better than that.
Yeah. So that was my favorite thing. So the second thing, the Star Wars Battlefront panel. This is the reason you were over there.
Yeah.
They were showing off the Battlefront. What did we predict? We predicted that we would have new info on areas and characters. Areas, yes. Characters,
a few characters. Well, we know Vader's in it, Boba Fett, I guess.
But not on like who you are sort of thing.
No. So four planets in the game. Spots Patrick Bach, who is the GM of DICE.
Yeah.
It's four planets. You've got Forest Moon and Vendor.
Yeah.
You've got Hoth, iconic for the Battlefront series. You've also got Tatooine.
Yeah.
And you've got Sullust. And it was interesting speaking to him, because I was like, what's the kind of canonical status of Battlefront? And obviously you're creating these fantasy battles.
Yeah.
And they use the analogy of like kids playing with their Star Wars toys.
Okay.
That you can create these weird scenarios where Boba Fett is on Tatooine, or he's on Hoth, you know, like one where he doesn't appear in the films. And you stage battles that never really happen, but they're involving the main players and key items. And well, that's what Battlefront has always been, because they're not like every... You can't be, because these are... You're going to play hundreds and thousands of matches. Yeah. So they can't all be canon, because...
That's mad.
Yeah, it's very hard to make a game like that and usher it into canon status.
Yeah.
But there will be missions that... like tap into key moments the actual movies.
But there's no single player campaign?
No, not as such. So the special missions kind of take the role of that. So you can play them solo, offline, or you can play them co-op, offline.
Play as Han Solo?
I would be surprised if you could. That's not been confirmed, but...
That's what you just said. Play as solo, that's what you said. You heard it here first. We also predicted that we would get to see Visceral and Amy Hennig's game. That did not happen.
That did not happen.
She was there though, right?
I spotted her, yeah, but
Amy, can you tell us about your game, please? That's your voice. What you sound like. What was the coolest thing about Battlefront that you saw?
I think it's cool that, well, I think it looks great. So everyone's seen the trailer that uses in-engine footage, but I saw basically the battle on Endor running, being captured on a PS4, but being captured running on a PS4. And it looked fantastic. You know, people were saying, oh, this trailer's deceptive. Yeah, it doesn't look quite as good as that, because that's got, you know, the camera's been manipulated, it's been cut in a way that makes it seem more cinematic. But the gameplay looked great. And I really like how the fact that, even though I said it's non-canon, these battles, they are trusting, it seems like Lucasfilm is trusting the games that EA is making to really contribute in a meaningful way to the universe. So for instance, Sullust, which is the fourth planet in the game, where Num's from, he's a Sullustan. It's where the Empire makes all its machines of war. So AT-ATs are made there, TIE fighters are made there. And that's never really been defined in a big way visually. Yeah. And so DICE have been given the opportunity to define that planet. So if it appears in the movies later on, it will look like that. So they used Iceland.
That's very cool.
And like Iceland's magma fields as an inspiration for it. So they are like shaping the Star Wars universe. This isn't like an incidental game.
No,
and I feel like maybe some of the other EA games, because this is the first of like, you know, 10-year partnership.
Yeah.
The other ones are going to contribute in a meaningful way too. Also, the Battle of Jakku, I think that's the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Is the free DLC. So if you buy it, you get it free. If you pre-order, you get it like a couple, like 10 days beforehand.
Yeah.
And it's set a year after Jedi.
Right.
About 29 years before Force Awakens.
Right.
And it takes place on the planet that you see in the Force Awakens trailer.
Holy
baloney. So you might be responsible for bringing down that Star Destroyer.
Awesome.
Which is cool.
That's very cool. I like it. Third panel was the Gareth Edwards Josh Trank panel. We predicted that we would get footage of Rogue One, confirmation of what exactly it's about. That's what happened. That shit definitely went down.
Yep.
So that was awesome. That.
Yeah, and they cut a special little teaser that it's not based on anything in the movie, because I don't think they even started filming yet.
No.
So it's just been put together with a bit of Obi-Wan
dialogue
and a cool image of
the Death Star.
And they said it will take place in a time without Jedis, which makes sense.
Yeah, it's really
after
cool.
The Cull.
It really reminded me of the Godzilla trailer. It really reminded me of that. And Monsters as well. Like, you just saw this like horribly like looming image of the Death Star in the background, like it's impending doom.
It's men against men and women against like this insurmountable monster.
Amazing, yeah.
And it's just a technological creation.
So we predicted that. We also predicted, though, because Josh Trank was meant to be there, so we predicted there would be a name for Trank's project, and also he would be working on something to do with Rebels.
Yeah, well, it was a bit ambitious considering he didn't even turn up.
He didn't. He was ill, so he couldn't make it, so we got those wrong. But if he had turned up, who's to say we would still be wrong? I mean, we'd probably be right if he was there, because we're bang on there. What was your coolest thing about it? Mine was just seeing that amazing sort of dome-like thing.
Yeah, just getting a little tidbit. And also, they're not spin-off movies. We've got a name for them. They're called anthologies.
Yeah.
The Star Wars anthology movies, which is cool. I think I'm really excited about those additional movies.
Excellent. The next thing, Star Wars Rebels. They showed some footage from season 2. We predicted that they, we would have footage of who Sarah Michelle Gellar is playing, and she would actually turn up as a little surprise.
Nothing.
Did no
nothing
happen.
That, mate.
That didn't happen. But we did have some new more characters and cameos. We heard Palpatine, who's been voiced by Sam Witwer from the Force Unleashed game, which is interesting, and more Vader. Also, Hondo Naka and Ahsoka Tano as well. They're both going to be like big parts of it.
Yeah, that was the post that they revealed, and obviously the trailer as well towards the tail end
of the
celebration, which is cool.
Just really excited about Rebels.
So kind of doing okay still on the predictions. But we're about 50-50 so far.
Okay, so finally then, our last prediction. Daniel gets overcome by his love for the Force and gets a tattoo. Now, I've seen a couple of tattoos. Our friend in the States, Max Scoville, he got a tattoo.
Yeah, Max got one.
Did you go along with him?
Yeah, I got.
Excellent.
No.
You did not get a tattoo?
No.
Why?
Because I said I wasn't going to get a tattoo.
Fannied out. You fannied out. Okay, that's fine.
Hey, mate.
Did you turn up with your design?
I'm just not part of the lifestyle.
Not part of the cool club.
I'm not part of the lifestyle.
But the coolest thing about that, though, is that they announced that it's going to be in London next year. So we can all get tattoos. We can get a matching tattoo, maybe.
Yeah, let's see how that goes.
What's up, guys? Joshua Yeo here to talk about the new Star Wars Princess Leia comic. You know, Marvel owns the license to make all the Star Wars comics now, so everything that they make is canon now. It counts. This story picks up right after, like, the beat after that A New Hope ends, that, you know, the award medal ceremony. It turns out that wasn't such a happy ending, at least for Princess Leia, because she wants to take the fight to the Empire. She's told, you're a princess, we can't put you in danger, you can't do that. And of course, we love Princess Leia. She has the attitude that, no, I'm not gonna do that, I'm not gonna sit back. So she ends up recruiting an X-Wing pilot, this great new character named Yvonne, who's also a survivor of Alderaan, like she is, and they go on a mission together to round up all the survivors of Alderaan. This is a great dynamic that writer Mark Waid has created. Mark Waid, one of my favorite writers. He's currently doing a great run on Daredevil. He's going to be the next guy to write Avengers, which is big news. And what he's doing with the dynamic is that Leia, you know, likes the pilot, but the pilot has a chip on her shoulder. She doesn't like Leia. She thinks she's entitled. You know, she's a princess. But they need each other to do this mission. So they go on this great mission together. There's lots of, like sneaking around and subterfuge and secrets and stuff. It's great. Lots of surprises. And another thing to talk about, of course, is the art by Rachel and Terry Dodson. And they have a very sort of cartoony style that I wasn't really quite too sure about. But once you get into it and you start reading the comic book, it really is something special. They really know what they're doing. They're great storytellers. And you know, she doesn't look like Carrie Fisher, as you can see in the image here, but she's still Princess Leia. And it really captured the Star Wars feel. And you know, you might be thinking, I don't want to read the comic book about Princess Leia, but you know, don't be a scruffy looking nerf herder. You know, check it out, because I really like it and I think you will too.
Time for another edition of Force Feedback, where we read out your feedback in a forceful way. Force like the Force in Star Wars, feedback like the feedback that you've sent in. It's a perfect name for a perfect segment. First off, Benjamin Brown. I was talking about an episode we did the other week about the changes George Lucas made to the films. Now he says, the difference between Boba Fett's voice change and Hayden Christensen's Force Ghost is that the latter just doesn't make sense. Why would Anakin come back younger, but Obi-Wan remain old? Yeah, but you're talking about people coming back from the dead here, so none of it makes sense.
Read the rest.
Okay, I suppose Anakin stopped being Anakin and became Vader when he was young, but surely he returned after redeeming himself by throwing the Emperor down a hole. Also, let's not forget that Sebastian Shaw gave a much more believable acting performance in the 75 seconds he was on screen than Hayden managed in the whole 3 or so hours that I had to look at his stupid face.
Oh, harsh. True.
He's not that bad.
He's not that good. He's not great. But read the next one, because we had it's quite a few emails about the Force Ghost of Anakin at the end of Jedi.
Okay.
And I can see both sides of the debate, and we can maybe just go on to it in a minute.
Okay, so Robert Watson says, last episode you mentioned how it makes sense for Hayden Christensen to appear at the end of Return of the Jedi instead of Sebastian Shaw as Anakin Skywalker as a Force Ghost. Did we say that?
Yes.
Did we?
I can't remember.
I have to disagree with this, as Anakin turns back to the light side of the Force when he's an old man in Return of the Jedi. Therefore, it makes sense for Sebastian Shaw to appear as Anakin next to Obi-Wan and Yoda.
I think we were talking about consistency.
Right,
and how we don't mind that Boba Fett's voice was changed for the sake of consistency. And I think we segue to saying that we didn't mind Hayden Christensen being there because it, you know, it creates continuity between the prequels and the originals, which obviously he was never in because he was probably not even born.
Right.
But then that comes to more of a discussion about the nature of Force Ghosts and the manifestation of Anakin. Should it be him pre-fall? Should it be him when he's redeemed himself? What would be the manifestation of that Force Ghost?
I think they're right. It would be him when he's redeemed himself.
But when does he redeem himself? Right at the end?
Of Return of the Jedi.
Not yet.
I think that's right. Yeah, Rob Watson and Benny Brown, I agree with both of what things that you said.
So Paul Blackhall has written in about two things he's noticed in the Force Awakens trailer revealed at Celebration. So looking back on it frame by frame, Leia gets handed a lightsaber by a small person's arm, definitely not Luke. So rather than Luke join the dark side, maybe it's her. So he thinks she's maybe turning to the dark side. And also that arm, if you look closely, it looks more like an alien's.
Okay.
And then the second one, that scene with the stormtroopers next to the fortress is on a snowy planet. I'm sure this is Hoth. Seems the Empire overrun it in episode 5, and it's a fan favorite. Overall, the trailer did everything right, and this film is for the fans.
That's really definitely
what they're trying to go for.
That's a really cool point about Hoth. I think that's right.
Maybe they won.
That's really cool. We got an email from Cam from Vancouver, and he talks about Darth Revan. He says, I couldn't help but notice the similarities between the look of Kylo Ren in the new trailer and Darth Revan from Knights of the Old Republic. I seem to recall hearing that at one point the producers of The Clone Wars wanted to introduce Darth Revan into the series. Do you think, based on the popularity of Revan, that perhaps he could be some form of mentor to Kylo Ren, perhaps as a Force ghost? That would be epic. I think that's a good shout.
Look very similar
to him, and he's right. He's like a, you know, everyone loves him from Knights of the Old Republic.
That'd be cool, and especially like what they did with like a lot of the canon, kind of maybe giving it legend status. It'd be great if they're not tired of going, no, we're doing our own thing. Yeah. They're actually, when the stuff that they really like are, hey, maybe that should be in the new world of Star Wars.
So this final one is from Carl Barrett. It says, with the amount of Star Wars content heading our way over the next few years and the announcement of the next Star Wars celebration taking place in 2016, do we think it'll now become an annual event? Because in the past, like, they've skipped years, there's not been one for a couple of years, they might have done one European.
Yeah.
But on the heels of this one, on Sunday night, they said, 2016, we're going to be in London for Star Wars Celebration Europe.
Yeah.
And I feel like with everything that's happened now, there's going to be no shortage of stuff.
Yeah.
Because we spoke about the history of Star Wars Celebration a couple of weeks ago and how the first few events were kind of pinned around the prequel trilogies. And I think in recent years it's kind of been like, there's been Clone Wars and stuff, but there was no new Star Wars.
Yeah,
whereas now there's going to be so much. And I think I'm really looking forward to London next year. We'll be there, obviously,
I hope.
And
doing a live Rebel base.
But we'll find out loads more about Rogue One, the anthology movies, Episode 8. That's exciting times, but I definitely think so, Kyle.
Awesome. Well, that's what these guys think. What do you think? Let us know anytime, rebelbase@ign.com. Okay, so we've talked about some of the best stuff that we saw at Star Wars Celebration, like the trailer and stuff like that. But you were on the ground floor.
Yeah.
What was the weirdest stuff?
Loads of weird stuff. I think we might start with a slight aside.
Yeah.
So outside the convention, there were kind of religious zealots picketing it with signs that said God hates this sort of thing. A bit of Father Ted, like,
down with this sort of thing.
And it was a brilliant moment where this guy dressed as a Tusken Raider went over to one of these women holding the sign, holding one of these signs, and said, and the Tusken Raider was with his wife, and the wife said, he's asking, can he hold your sign above his head and go like that for a picture?
Yeah.
And this woman was like, no, I'm protesting.
I'm protesting
this very sort of thing. And then he's like, oh, can I at least have a picture? So he got next to her. And this woman, just being a woman as well, like, you know, the camera was on her.
Yeah.
And she smiled next to this Tusken Raider.
You've got to try and find that photo. That's
amazing. Yeah, track it down.
That's
too
really
late to get it myself. So the weirdest things, I think it's the kind of mix. One, it's an amazing celebration. If you've not been before, you should definitely go London next year if you can, because it's just a really nice atmosphere. Like, people of all ages, all ethnicities, all backgrounds, just enjoying Star Wars. You see people in corridors dressed as Boba Fett just fist bumping.
Yeah.
Or people in character as stormtroopers, like, checking your badges going, yeah, you can be here.
Yeah.
Carry on. It's just people cosplaying, but in character. But I think it's the mixture of Star Wars and just the mundane.
Yeah.
Like, you go into lifts at hotels, and there's one lift I went into, me and Mitch,
For a Battlefront interview, and we opened it, and there's a bunch of stormtroopers, and Chewbacca crouched at the back. And it's just stuff like that. One of my favourite things was when you go into the show, there's these things called weapon checking stations.
Right.
Where if you're bringing in like guns and
blasters and stuff,
they need to be checked, you know, just in case. You know, we're in America after all.
I think that's quite sort of standard at like Comic Cons and stuff like that, because obviously people walk around with like katana blades and
I just love that. It's like the mixture of just the mundane. And like people dressed as Jedi Knights walking around, or like just going to food vans, just eating like in character.
Yeah, that
I
is
love
funny.
That stuff.
I like that. That's good. Yeah. What else?
So cosplay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of regular cosplay. There's Jedi's. You've got your Siths. You've got even people come in as you know a variety of bounty hunters. But my favorite is when people get really creative.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mashup. Cosplay that I saw there. So we've got some there. We've got an Imperial Iron Man.
That's good.
But we have lots of superhero mashups, a lot of Marvel mashups.
That's just Batman with a lightsaber, though.
I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he was the best one, but there's like Elsa from Frozen.
Yeah.
I saw Master Chief. Okay. I saw a Magneto Jedi.
Oh, awesome.
Just loads of crazy stuff like that.
This is a cool little one as well, I really like.
Yeah, that's one of my favourite. The texture on that was amazing. Like,
really?
It was kind of like leather metal,
wow.
that had been treated to look like metal. It's just like really kind of outre and weird cosplay out of your standard Jedi robes.
That's really good.
I love that.
That's really good. The next thing you put down is competitive thumb wrestling.
Idea why that was the Star Wars celebration. So I actually filmed it.
Was it Star Wars themed?
So it was sponsored by Band-Aid, like the American plastic Band-Aid makers. And it was really good because they had like this big box. It had a really big box full of like free plasters and there were Star Wars plasters. It was really good because my new trainers were really hurting me, so I actually needed a plaster, but I didn't want to use it because, anyway, that's a digression. And they were thumb wrestling because if you're a professional thumb wrestler, apparently you use plasters. You know, like boxes kind of tape up the hands.
God.
It's like it's a tool of the trade. And there's this man who I think was a professional thumb wrestler.
Yeah.
On stage, and there's like a professional thumb wrestling setup where you put your arm in, and like people could go up and challenge him.
Yeah.
And there was a woman next to me, and I thought it was his wife, the professional, and I don't know if it was, but she was just like shouting through the whole thing, like supporting this guy, like she was in love with him.
Oh my God.
She was just there, like, basically like, kick his ass, Seabass! Just do it! And there's this little kid fighting him, and he's just owning him.
Yeah.
I don't know why that was there, apart from Star Wars plasters.
I want to see that. If it's in London, I'll have a go. Did you have a go?
No, I was a bit scared.
Next thing then, pin badge trade-in.
Pin badge trading is,
what is this?
Mental. So at Star Wars Celebration, there's merchandise that you can only get at the convention.
Right.
So the first day was just nuts. They hadn't, I don't know why they hadn't anticipated how many people would want to buy stuff.
Yeah.
So they hadn't set up snake queuing. So people were queuing with merchandise outside of the show floor.
Yeah.
So people could just walk off with it. So they reformatted it. And I got in early one day and I thought, right, I'm going to go get myself some t-shirts.
Got me some socks. Got me some Star Wars Celebration
Leave
socks.
Leave no man behind.
Crispy socks. I don't know why they're crispy. Probably
you asked for because you've been wearing them. So anyway, I queued up to get in, and there's already a big queue before the show had even opened for people who paid more to get in early.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, they should probably want t-shirts like me, but no.
Like me.
No. There's this like little stand within the shop area.
Yeah.
And it sells Star Wars pin badges. And this is a big Disney thing in general, but it's a really big thing at Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
And it's just like different characters and different packs of different Star Wars characters, and they're only available there. And that's the thing, they're only available there, and people go absolutely nuts for it. And I was watching people go in to get these, and everyone just immediately went for this little kind of standing display of them, point of sale. And they just crushed each other, just piled in, just grabbing handfuls of them.
Wow.
Women were getting knocked over, getting crushed up against it. And then, like, it was almost like piranha fish desiccating, you know, just ripping apart its prey.
God.
And they'd all gone.
Freaking pin badges.
But this is the most interesting thing, I thought, the most fascinating. After they're all gone, people were like, oh, that's horrible. And then people were sitting on the floor with these pin badges, putting them out, going, right, I got these, do you want to trade? So almost, they haven't even bought them at that point.
What?
But they were trading them, like going, oh, do you want to swap? Because people had just gone in and cleared out a whole line of them. And they were just trading on the floor.
What if they just stole them?
Well, they don't legally own them yet. But
that's
like,
so weird. That's really weird.
It's terrifying. And this one woman was like in the queue and I was speaking to her because I was buying my t-shirt and she's like, I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. I was too small for it.
What?
I thought I was going to die.
Imagine being murdered over a Star Wars pin badge. I like Star Wars, but come on. pin badges.
So next year at London, we need to go set up a camera and just film that every single. It was like Black Friday.
Yeah. All right, this is a funny one. Andy Daniels giving Rancor a bone.
Yeah, so they had a huge life-size model of the Rancor at Star Wars Celebration, which is incredible. I can't remember his name, it's Roxy the Rancor.
Yeah.
And it looked amazing, it looked incredible. And I was just on the show floor early one morning and Anthony Daniels was just hovering about.
Yeah.
And he went in and they were like, go on, put the bone in his mouth. And like he went, all right. And he's like feeding a bone to Rancor.
That's weird. It's a funny picture though, I like it. One man and his droid, what's this?
One man and his droid. So there was a big area of the show floor. I didn't really know what was going on, a lot of people were crowding around and I went up to kind of investigate and there was kind of a course.
Right.
Of like cones and little Jawas. And on the side, there were people who brought their R2 units that they built.
Oh my God.
And what it was basically, it's like one man and his dog. You have to like race and navigate your droid through this obstacle course.
Awesome.
So it's beautiful. It's the relationship between one man and his droid.
Oh, that is lovely. Yeah. I wish I could have seen that. Kenny Baker R2-D2?
This is probably the most disturbing thing I saw at Star Wars Celebration. So there's a lot, you know, Celebration, there's lots of things going around, but, you know, there's little kids running around.
Yeah.
There's lots of little droids and robots just scooting about, really well made.
Yeah.
And then this monstrosity appeared out of nowhere. It's R2, but just got Kenny Baker's weird simulacrum head popping out the top of it.
That's odd. That is a really weird picture as well.
It's too odd.
It is odd. And finally then, Drunk Rebels. Tell me about the Drunk Rebels.
Do you think you'd like to be a part of the Drunk Rebels?
Definitely. I saw the video, it's so good.
It's so weird. So we're playing now, I guess. But like, it's so odd. I was just on the show floor and it's quite noisy anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, people screaming. And then out of nowhere, these like, it's like a stag do appears. It's like loads of X-Wing pilots just on a stag do, just like running around. And this is what they did all day, just going, way, way, way.
Yeah.
And it's like jumping up and down, pushing through a crowd. And then bizarrely, just at the end, there's Bender with a wig on and a mustache, dressed as a rebel pilot. I don't know what that's in. What's that from?
It is awesome. Like, I just thought, like, if you ever get married, that's what we can dress up as. Because you have to dress up on a stag do. It's the law.
We'll dress up as rebels. I'll dress up as Bender.
Yeah.
I'll dress up as, like, 1970s private detective Bender.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Fair enough.
Well, that's what was at this year's Star Wars Celebration. It's going to be in London next year. You're going to go? What do you want to see? Let us know. Rebelbase@IGN.com.
Yeah, and of course, until next week, for everything on Star Wars, Star Trek, well, maybe not Star Trek, stay right here on IGN.